Welcome to UBS On Air. This is the Global Investor Forum, where each month we invite some of the world's top fund managers here to UBS to debate the outlook for the economy and markets. This month, Mark Haflay, UBS Global Chief Investment Office, Amanda Young, Head of Global ESG Investment Research at Aberdeen Standard, and James Purcell, Head of Sustainable Investing at UBS CIO Global Wealth Management, discuss the future of sustainable investing.
Hi, Amanda. Hi, James. Very nice to have you here. Let's start with you, Amanda. As the Global Head of Responsible Investment at Aberdeen Standard Investments, what do investors expect from their wealth managers when it comes to sustainable investing? And how close is the industry to responding to this need?
I think that's a very good question, because I think the need and the demands from the investors actually varies quite substantially. Sustainable investment has obviously risen quite significantly over the last few years in the media, with the investment industry as a whole. And I think there's a lot of confusion around what sustainable investment means. If you look at the definition that the Principles for Responsible Investment define, they say that for responsible investment, there's two things. There's one, the allocation of capital towards ESG and how you allocate your capital. And the second is how you are good stewards of that capital, i.e. how do you use your voice to engage with the underlying investments to make sure that they are doing what they need to do. But with the allocation of capital, there's effectively two different things. There's ESG integration, so making sure you understand environmental, human rights, climate change risks as part of your investments. But there's also sustainable investments. So how do you allocate your capital that meets the values and the needs of your underlying clients? And what I would say is that those needs vary quite substantially. So for a wealth manager, the important thing is to have that conversation with your client so that you can understand what they mean by sustainable investment. Is it about excluding things? Is it about a positive allocation of capital towards things? And how do you look up after those underlying investments once they've been made?
So you described a little bit on the kind of supply side of, on the demand side of what people may be looking for as they learn about these things. But on the supply side, are you seeing innovations?
We are seeing innovations. I would caveat that with a bit of caution, in that I'm not sure the industry as a whole is spending enough time understanding the demands of the underlying clients. You can speak to big institutional pension funds who talk about their underlying beneficiaries not being interested, but then when you ask them whether they've asked their beneficiaries if they're interested, the answer is generally no. When you have a much closer relationship with your end client, I think that's a really positive thing. And that's where we are seeing some innovation. The core thing is a significant change from a thou shalt not approach. So 20, 30 years ago, anything that people wanted to invest in that had some sort of values attached to it generally tended to be an exclusionary approach. You know, I don't want to invest in gambling, armaments, tobacco, animal testing, and very values driven, often related to religious or societal views. What we're now seeing is a shift towards positive allocation of capital. And I think that's where the innovation is coming through. So green bonds have been around for a while. That's been a very attractive marketplace. But we are also seeing more products that are allocating capital towards addressing sustainable development goals and impact investment. And in the private space, some real social impact investment opportunities where the social aim is as important as the financial outcome of the investment made.
So changing landscape from exclusion to inclusion or integration, what about things that can kickstart another leg here? Is it further regulation or the terminology homogenization that you talked a little bit about? What do you see moving forward?
I think it's a combination of things. we do need to get better as an industry to articulate what we mean by sustainable investment. Is it about ESG integration and understanding the risks and opportunities of our investments, or is it a capital allocation piece? And that, you know, both of those strands are valid. However, there is a growth in regulation. So I think that will drive significant parts of the marketplace. So even in the UK, for instance, we are seeing a requirement for pension funds to have to articulate how ESG factors form part of the investment management principles that pension funds are adopting. But I also think that there's a consumer piece here. People are purchasing differently. They are looking to live their lives differently. And this will all feed through to where the opportunities are from a financial point of view in the future. So I think there is a range of things from regulation to just changing environmental and social dynamics across the world to innovation. You know, companies are very good at finding holes in the marketplace. And I think that could potentially be the investment for the future.
And how are you at Aberdeen using the ESG data differently now as more and more data becomes available?
I think that's a great question, because certainly 10 years ago, data was one of the most significant challenges that we had as investors to really understand how companies were dealing with that. So we've seen a massive rise in the number of data providers out there, which is really positive. However, the one thing I would say about the current data provision is that it's very backward-looking. And we as an investment management industry need to be forward-looking. We need to be identifying where companies are going. The big gap at the moment is data around the Sustainable Development Goals and positive outcomes of investments. And I suspect that that's where we will see things moving in the future. And in terms of what we are doing at Aberdeen Standard Investments, having more data is allowing us to create more solutions and products for our clients. So, for instance, by developing an ESG score that allows you, using external data providers as well as internal insights, that it allows you to assess which companies are failing in managing ESG risks, can help you tilt portfolios, can help you construct portfolios. But also, it gives you a starting point that's much easier if you want to apply it at a portfolio level. So definitely from a stock by stock, you still need that individual insight, because you need to be knowing where you're going. But if you want to amalgamate your data at a portfolio level, this is really helpful.
And do you think that sustainable and impact investing are on their way to being the new normal, or is that still really far out in the future?
ESG integration, so that's the understanding of environmental social governance factors, is definitely becoming more mainstream. Being able to articulate how that feeds into an investment process, I think it does vary between fund managers. But I would argue that there's very few fund managers out there that don't say they incorporate ESG issues as part of their investment process now. Evidencing that is going to be important going forward. But impact investing, it's a very niche marketplace. You are excluding a huge element of the markets, which are still important. And what we need to be actually thinking about more is a spectrum of capital. So more sustainability-driven funds that are not necessarily looking to generate impact, but more looking to exclude worst-case offenders, or thematic funds that are tapping into things like water issues or climate change issues are definitely of interest to the clients. So I think we need to recognize there is a spectrum of capital, from ESG integration, where people just want this to be part of what they do, right through to the end of the spectrum, which is a very specific allocation of capital. Impact investing, for me, has to show intentionality. So the underlying investments you make need to be intentionally trying to deliver an environmental or social solution outcome. You need to be able to measure it. And at the moment, the data to measure is very limited. So I think for certainly the next 10 years, it will be a niche but growing part of the marketplace. ESG integration, however, is definitely becoming more mainstream. But we will need to be able to evidence that to our end investors.
Thank you, Amanda. Now, James, as the head of sustainable investments in the UBS CIO office, do you share Amanda's view on the changes we're seeing in the industry and where we go from here?
Thank you, Mark. I think the key word that Amanda used is innovation, and there are several areas within sustainable investing where innovation has now come into the fore. The first would be how we invest. The second is the data that we use to invest. And the third is the framework that we communicate to investors with. So if we take each of those in turn, I think on how to invest, the big change, the big innovation has been moving away from divestment, so excluding things from our portfolio, and instead moving towards engagement, which is using our voice constructively to change companies' behavior for good in terms of both profit and also sustainability. And of course, at UBS, we've been innovating here with dedicated allocations within our sustainable investing portfolios. On the second area, the data used to invest, there's a number of great innovations occurring currently. I would say that the biggest area is an improvement in disclosure from companies, getting more and more alignment in the standards that companies are using when they're giving out data. There are some fantastic organizations like the Sustainable Accounting Standards Board, also known as SASB, who've been driving that homogeneity across the industry. But we should also remember that we can have more proprietary data sets. Things such as web scraping and news analysis can allow us to get ahead of the curve. And then finally, when we look at the third innovation, the framework to communicate with our clients and the taxonomy of how we describe products and services in the market. There's a recent paper released from the Institute of International Finance, the IIF, who lays out a very clear framework for how we can categorize sustainable investments across exclusion investments, inclusion investments, and impactful investments. And these clear, concise frameworks, I think, are very powerful in making sustainability more easy to understand and more accessible for clients, both institutional and private alike.
James, Amanda, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed in this material are those of the author speaker and are not those of UBS, its subsidiaries, or affiliates. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over the content of this material or any claims, losses, or damages arising from the use or reliance of all or any part thereof. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for information purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business and that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products or services we offer. For more information, visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC.